This is Radio Boston. I'm Yasmin Ammer in for Tiziana Deering. Nearly every other person in Massachusetts has a bachelor's degree or higher, the highest of any state. But does that mean we have all the skills we need for our state's workforce? That is the key question today. According to new data from Harvard's Project on Workforce, in 2021, 40% of students who recently completed a four-year degree found themselves in a job that didn't require it. And there is a gap between the skills of college grads and the jobs in the market. Here to break this all down is David Deming. He's the co-author of Delivering on the Degree, the College to Jobs Playbook. And among other things, he's also a professor of policy and education and economics at Harvard. Hi, David.
Hi, great to be with you.
Great to have you. And also joining us in the studio is Joe McLaughlin, Director of Research and Strategy at Boston Private Industry Council. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Yasmin. Happy to be here.
So let's get started. David, I'd love to hear a couple of big takeaways from this report for you.
Sure. So first of all, I just want to say how exciting this is, and I want to mention to you all exactly what we have. So the first thing is the map. If you go to college2jobs.hks.harvard.edu, you can see a map all across the nation, and you can zoom in on Boston and look at the distribution of graduates produced by colleges in the area and also job openings listed by employers by occupation. So you can look at these matches overall in the area or by specific industries like healthcare or education or business or what have you. And so that's the data source from which we're drawing insights for the report. And I think a key takeaway for us, Yasmin, is that while the Boston market is overall strong, we are producing college graduates at about twice the national growth rate. There are a bunch of areas, particularly healthcare support and technical jobs, especially computer-related jobs, things like web developers and computer programmers, where the demand for workers exceeds the supply of workers. So not as many graduates being produced, but a lot of job openings on the employer side.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling up the map as you speak right now. And it is, like you said, pretty user-friendly. And you just scroll and you can find any college. You can learn things about that college, like how much grads typically get paid, like, you know, 10 years out, the graduation rate. And I found this idea of economic mobility quite interesting. You look at the percentage of grads who moved up from the bottom 20%. Their parents were in the bottom 20% of income to the grads. You know, how many of them moved up to the top 20% of income? So how do you think Massachusetts colleges are doing when it comes to economic mobility?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I would say that Massachusetts colleges are doing better than most places in the country, but not as well as they could be doing. And I think that's because the mission of colleges is kind of multidimensional. But I think one thing that students and parents and taxpayers say they want from colleges is access to good paying jobs, and not just the first job, but jobs that lead to careers that pay family sustaining incomes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, please. I was just going to say that's something that we haven't been focused on as a society enough. And we think about this tool as a way to give folks the insights they need to look and see what are the degrees that pay, what are the colleges that are doing well by students and by taxpayers, and is really a way to ask the right questions so that we can improve the state of economic mobility in Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. But Joe, I want to bring you in because you are familiar with this map and this data. When you think about it, when you look at it, how does that help you in terms of your work and that of the Boston Private Industry Council?
Thank you. We're excited. Our goal is to connect Boston residents with promising career paths that align with the needs of local employers. And one way to do that is to look at the data and have that informed discussion. So one of the things we'd like to do is we'll convene educators, employers, and training partners to really have conversations around this data. If we do that in the healthcare space, we have a healthcare career consortium where we look at individual occupational paths and figure out where do we need more supply, where are there opportunities if we could get more residents into those training paths that they'll end up with family-sustaining jobs at the end. So the data really kind of informs that discussion, and having what Project on Workforce has put together is going to help us both in our healthcare work and also our tech work, technology work as well.
Are there frustrations that keep coming up over and over again in your work?
There are. When we bring these industry sector convenings in the healthcare space, we know that it's hard to get faculty in some of these programs to teach courses to expand programs. So there's kind of policy level barriers that come up that we try to raise up to the state. So that's like one key area is just, you know, the staffing to expand these programs.
And I want to talk about the economic mobility outside of college, because it's really important that we are, even this is a really helpful tool in terms of like seeing how colleges play into this, but they're only one part of the equation when we think about economic mobility and really matching people to skills in the workforce. So I'd love to hear from you, David, how you're thinking about this, how you're thinking about economic mobility outside of college as well.
Absolutely. Let me lay some context for this. The United States spends about 20% of other rich countries on what's called active labor market policies, which is things like internships, apprenticeships, subsidies for job training. And so even though we're the richest country in the world, we don't take the transition from college to career very seriously relative to other advanced economies. And so I think about this tool and the work that Joe and his colleagues are doing as trying to build more connective tissue that helps people go from educational institutions into the job market and do important learning on the job. I mean, a lot of what we learn in life happens on the job. And so I don't think it has to be a binary. You're either in college or you're on the job. Actually, what we need is more work-based learning opportunities for students, ways to integrate skills development with on-the-job practical learning. And I think there are some exciting examples of that happening in Boston and also around the country. But I think we're really just getting started in making that a better and smoother pathway. And that's what the Project on Workforce is all about.
Let's hang on to some of those examples. But if you're just joining us, we're talking to David Deming. He is a co-chair of the Project on Workforce at Harvard. And we also have with us Joe McLaughlin, Director of Research and Strategy at the Boston Private Industry Council. We're talking about ways to build skills in college students and graduates and beyond, skills just in the general workforce so they can find and actually retain well-paying jobs in their communities. So let's actually go back to that for just a second, David. I do you have like a quick example of something that you think really works, whether it is something a college is doing or outside of college, a training program, like something that's been really effective?
Sure.
Yeah,
I do. And I think actually we can look to some sectors of the economy that are already doing a lot of this. For example, in the medical field, almost every job that requires any medical training has extensive internship and externship opportunities, hands-on learning, learning how to operate a machine that you need to use if you're an X-ray technician, for example, learning, you know, if you're a resident, if you're training to be a doctor, you know, that's not, I mean, there's classroom learning, but there's a ton of learning by actually working in teams, observing actual procedures, learning from more senior students, you know, kind of a hierarchy of experience. And so I think we just need that approach for almost every type of job, if possible. I think most people learn by example, learn through practical experiences. And even though those things are expensive and hard to coordinate, they really do boost learning. And we're making a lifelong investment in people's potential economic mobility. So I would just like to see much more of those types of opportunities. Happy to give you more details, Yasmin, but I think at a high level, that's really what we're talking about. And the playbook that you mentioned at the beginning that we've authored is an attempt to let people know the state of the evidence on different ways of providing work-based learning opportunities.
And Joe, this is not just college. We're not talking just about college. You're focused in people in high school earlier than college. Tell me about your work and how that.
That's right. We're a school-to-career intermediary. We staff Boston Public High Schools and prepare students for internships, both school year and summer, to bring in those work-based learning experiences, really engage them so that they can learn how their classroom experience connects to the workplace. And as David said, I think the earlier you start, the better off you are. If we could expose young people to careers in the medical fields, in technology fields that are in high demand in this Boston area, they're more likely to continue on to those paths in post-secondary and ultimately complete. So it's a key, the exposure early on is key.
And I want to know kind of what gets that light going in their eyes, like what actually gets high school students excited just from your experience? Because like we talk about exposure, but is there a right way to do it? Is there a right way to train them? Is there a right way to get them to actually like think about career and this is where I want to head after this?
I mean, one way is to take them into workplaces. So we do that through through employer visits, site visits. And then obviously we have internship experiences. So they're meeting people from all different types of career paths in these settings. They get really excited. Some of our architectural firm partners, our technology partners, expose them to technology in these occupations. So they kind of see what it's like when they would eventually work here. I think that's the best way to do it. It's got to be real. You got to take them out, have them have interactions with adults and see what people are doing in the workforce.
David, this idea in my reporting, and I'm a business reporter, this idea of stacked credentials keeps coming up. And that essentially means, does my education need to look different in order to keep up with this fast-moving economy? So stacked education, it's basically like going through, you know, maybe a year-long training and education program, and then maybe going through a three-month training program, rather than this like one big chunk of like two or four years. So I am wondering, David, if you're seeing a world in which the way we look at education and how we get ready for a career is going to just completely change.
Yeah, so here's how I think about it, Yasmin. I think that if you are entering an educational institution at the early part of your career, you know, maybe you're in college, for example, or just a young worker, you're trying to get the kind of skills that are going to last, not for the next job, but actually for the next 30, 35, 40 years of your life. And so there's always going to be a tension between teaching you something that is valuable forever and teaching you something that's particularly valuable today that employers say they want today. And so I view the job of colleges as mostly giving you a broad set of skills, how to make good decisions, how to work in teams. And I think a lot of that happens on the job. And so I think work-based learning opportunities are completely consistent with broad transferable skills that are valuable almost everywhere. At the same time, you want to layer on top of that specific vocational skills that can be stackable. So I want to be a good team player. I want to know, I want to learn a strong work ethic. I want to learn professional skills, be good at making decisions with information. But then I need on top of that some specific expertise that employers need right now. And that's where the kind of idea of stackable credentials comes in, as I think of them as stacking on top of each other, but also being stacked on top of a strong foundation of soft skills or 21st century skills or whatever you want to call them.
Look, I hear you, and I hear that like maybe life at this point, because things change and technology changes so much, that you just kind of need to keep learning. But like, Joe, let me ask you this. Like, I just don't, how does that work with life? Like, you need the skills to keep up as you get older, but you have so many financial responsibilities, and not to mention the time. Like, am I going to really take time to train again and again and again? How does it work? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a couple of things we need, and David highlighted this. The stackable credentials gives an opportunity for a young person to go in a shorter period of time, get some key skills, and enter the workforce, and then they could go back when at the appropriate time to expand their education. But I think the other way it works is we really need employers to engage in this system. So it's not just individuals bearing their own risk, paying for college, and then hoping that degree gets them a job. We need employers to co-invest with them and offer training, allow them to take classes during the workday to give them the skills to help promote them. So bringing employers and educators together is going to be a key to the future.
So you think
can't see me, Yasmin, but I'm nodding furiously in agreement.
So I get it. Like, employers have to put some real financial backing and investment into this. But I am wondering what you think the responsibility of institutions is. Like, if I'm a college dean and I'm looking at this map and I'm seeing there's not much economic mobility out of my school, or like, honestly, some of them have pretty low incomes for Massachusetts. So take a look at that map. But what is the responsibility of a college institution to its graduates?
So I think absolutely there's plenty of work to be done on all sides. I think there's, you know, that's why I mentioned earlier this idea of connective tissue. I think what's needed is groups in Boston, groups like Joe's group and people like the project, you know, institutions like the Project and Workforce, to be a clearinghouse for this information, but also to bring both sides of this market together and say everyone needs to compromise a little to create the kinds of partnerships that are going to work both for employers who need something today right now and workers who need to be trained and need some job security and don't want to learn a skill that's only valuable in a particular job at a particular point in time. So it's very much about compromise, about building institutions and connective tissue, as I said. And that's why I think it's so important that we have these conversations and work together on it.
Joe, I'd love to hear some advice from you. If I am a student or a parent or somebody who's thinking about going into the workforce, I'm not even going to say necessarily college, but, you know, how would I use this map? How would I think about my career?
So I think it's important to think about what you like and to do a career assessment, and then look at some of these outcomes by major. And, you know, if you want to pursue a science degree, you got to think about, well, do I want to go 4 years and then get a master's in order to work in a lot of the life science type jobs, or is there another path? But I think the most important thing is blending good real world skills with the academic skills, finding what you like, but then making sure that there's some labor market relevant skills in that path.
And it's just like it's a practical tool, because it's like I can kind of click on each region and see which fields of growth, what's like actually growing among like fields of study and like and work. So it's super helpful. But I want to thank you so much for being here. We have with us Joe McLaughlin. He is the Director of Research and Strategy at the Boston Private Industry Council. Joe, thank you.
Thank you.
And David Deming, he's the co-author of Delivering on the Degree, the College to Jobs Playbook, co-chair of the project on workforce at Harvard. Thank you so much for being here as well.
It was a pleasure to be here, Yasmin. Thanks.
And again, College to Jobs map, use it, check it out. It tells you all about how Massachusetts is doing.